With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay authenticity guaranteed. Visit eBay.com for terms.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I'm Bobby Sylvester, as always, with Mike Tagliere. Well, I mean, not as always, I guess, but I'm back. I know Tag said I was like away on some cruise. Maybe there's been some whispers that I've been doing a ton with fantasy baseball lately, and that's why I've missed the last few shows. Truth be told, I was so mystified when Steven Crowder said Pop-Tarts are ravioli that I needed to take like 30 personal days to recover. Tags, how's it going, man?
It's going fantastic. You know, when that question actually came up, I brought it to my wife and asked her what she thought. And she's like, absolutely not. Like, how is that even a conversation? So I kind of went through and we looked up the definition of a ravioli and all that. And obviously, with it being a pasta noodle, it doesn't quite fit. But I understood the conversation. I thought it was a interesting debate, to say the least.
Dude, pastries are basically pasta. It's the same thing.
I mean, I wish I could have a Pop-Tart right now and I could kind of tell you about that, but I've been sticking to my diet. And I'm happy to say that since the new year, I'm now down 18 pounds. So I'm getting back into shape.
Dude, congratulations. That's awesome, man. Yeah, I actually had a salad for lunch today and then I, you know, finished it off with like 2 Cadbury eggs, which I've been eating a lot healthier, but that's just kind of my weakness. So nice. You know, Cadbury eggs come out, it's all over.
Yeah, no, well, it's fun because, like, I'm glad I'm starting to lose some weight because we're starting to do more video stuff, Bobby. And I don't know if you know, but we are actually recording this episode for YouTube. We're going to be sharing it. We've been doing some draft analysis Sweet. Videos. And so I had to get all dolled up today and actually do my hair and put on a shirt. I mean, I'm wearing my Adidas pants, but I have a nice dress shirt on.
Like Adidas jorts or?
No, they're like Adidas
you're
pants.
You're doing it the right way, right?
No, absolutely not. I don't do the jorts route. You know that.
Are you, this is a draft episode, so are you at least wearing the draft, like, tuxedo or suit with a diaper on?
No diaper. I can confirm nope. Okay. I do not have a diaper on.
I mean, the draft simulator goes a lot faster than normal drafts. You probably don't need the diaper, but I would have worn one anyway. We do have a really fun show today. Tags, this is weird, man. Like, I never realized I talk to Tags more than virtually anyone else in my life outside my family. It's fun, man. I miss this, Tags.
It was, and it's weird. It's weird hosting a show again without you there, but it's good to have you back, man. When I found out we were going to be doing a mock draft episode, I'm like, we got to have Bobby back for that because, you know, we've been covering a lot of the draft, and it's hard to focus on the draft as much as we kind of have to in this short span while you're kind of focusing on baseball and some other things. So we figured, you know, what better way to give you your space and time to be able to do your baseball yeah. podcast, your baseball work. So I'm happy, man. I'm glad to have you back on. I've been saying
Thanks,
it
dude.
For a long time that you're my favorite host, dude. So welcome back.
I appreciate it. You know, bless I think, you know, when we're doing the Draft Wizard episode, which is what we're doing today for those of you listening at home, we can't really do the Draft Wizard episode with Tags and like Evan Silva, because if Evan Silva caught wind of Tags, you know, fixing the draft order like he always does, he'd probably be really mad. I just deal with it. I know I'm probably going to beat him anyway, so it doesn't matter where Tags picks. So we do have a fun show today. It's the Draft Wizard. It is up and running, baby. For those of you who don't know, this is our draft simulation software. So you can go to the Fantasy Pros homepage, hover over NFL, then select the Draft Simulator. You're going to get to pick your league settings, draft spot, or you can randomize it. That's what we're going to do. Then complete a mock draft in, like I said, 5 minutes. Ours isn't going to be 5 minutes because we're going to talk about it, break down all the players and everything. And you're going to get graded at the end with all kinds of data at your disposal. Tags, I think this is the single best thing on our site, man.
This is so much fun. This is actually one of the tools that drew a lot of people into Fantasy Pros, and then kind of they found things from there. But if there's somebody out there listening, and let's say that you read a lot of the articles, but you haven't checked out the Draft Wizard, it is one of the neatest tools. And it's like, you know, it changed my life. And I don't want to say changed my life, but like it's a loose thing. But, you know, when we used to have to go back into these mock draft lobbies and take 2 hours to complete a mock draft, it wasn't really fun. And of course, you could look at ADP and then that would do something, but it didn't give you the feel of like you're doing an actual mock draft. So this tool we put together that randomizes it every time, where it's like, you know, the same picks are not taking place every time. You could draft against the public ADP. You could draft against experts. You could pick your experts. There's so many different things you can do. And if you're watching on YouTube now, you're able to actually see the screen in front of me where you can go through and set all this stuff up. We have dynasty leagues. You could do dynasty startups, rookie drafts. Once all the rookies get into place, we have half PPR scoring, PPR standard, snake, custom, anything you really want. And Bobby, you can't accuse me of cheating this episode, because by the way, the listeners can see I'm going to hit randomize. Like, it's on the fourth pick right now, but I'm going to hit randomize once we start going into the mock draft. And the settings that we're going to be using, we're going to be doing a one quarterback league, two running backs, three receivers, one tight end, two flex spots, no super flex. Yes, but two flex spots, which is, I highly recommend that for your league. Make it as deep as possible. It increases the talent gap. And then we're going to have one defense, no kickers, and six bench spots. So, Bobby, you want to explain about the rookies and why we're going to not include them in this draft? And there's a good reason for that.
Yeah, there's definitely a good reason. I just want to confirm something really quick. Did you say half PPR?
Yes.
Okay, and you're going 12 teams. I'm going to go 13 just to make it a lot harder so that, you know, I'm just kidding, man. The reason we're not using rookies is because at this point we don't have projections for rookies, right? I mean, Draft Wizard pulls from the projections on our website so that we can give you a draft grade at the end. If you draft Saquon Barkley, we don't know if he's going to end up with the Cleveland Browns or if he's going to end up with Jimmy G in San Francisco. We don't know where he's going to end up, so we can't give you a realistic projection of where he's going to go. I would like to talk about some of those rookies before we do the draft, though, Tags. Like, how high would you take Barkley? Like, if you're actually in a weird league where you're doing a draft today, not a dynasty league, but like a 2018 draft, is Barkley in your first round?
Barkley is teetering on the first round. He's someone where landing spot can definitely dictate where he would go ahead of someone like, you know, maybe like an Alvin Kamara, because he's going to see more touches. Alvin Kamara is due for some regression. It's not that I'm not a huge fan, because I was a fan of Kamara last year. I'm a fan of him going forward, but there is some natural regression. Mark Ingram's still there. We're just not expecting that crazy amount of fantasy points per touch. But Barkley, the thing is when you talk about rookies and you talk about running backs, most importantly, those are the ones that are going to make an impact. If you go back and look at last year, you know, the top 10 running backs in the league, a lot of them were really young guys. It's because the NFL, when they use an early pick on a running back like Ezekiel Elliott, like Leonard Fournette over the last 2 years, that's telling that they are going to use that running back because they need to get everything they can out of him while they're young, while they're fresh. It's why you see running backs like Jonathan Stewart got cut today. Matt Forte retired. LeGarrette Blount's going to be a free agent for a while. Chris Ivory got cut. There's a lot of news out there about these older running backs. And the reason that's happening is because you have these young bucks coming in. They have fresh legs. They can do it on all three downs. And Barkley's one of those guys. So a team is going to spend a top 10 pick on Barkley. We don't know exactly where he's going to go in the draft, but he's going to be spent a top 10 pick on, which means he's going to walk in to a three down role immediately, and touches are everything to running back. So don't worry about, you know, rookies as a running back, but as wide receivers, those ones are a little bit harder to judge, and landing spot has to do so much. So those are really tough to project right now.
Absolutely. Yeah. Here's my projection with Barkley. Like, I love him. I think he's, you know, I think he's better than Zeke. I think he's better than Fournette. You know, I think he's better than all these guys who have gone lately. Adrian Peterson is a real comp. He might be better than Adrian Peterson. A lot of it depends on where he was, though. Emmett Smith wouldn't have been Emmett Smith if he wasn't behind Dallas. Barry Sanders would have been the best running back ever if he wasn't in Detroit, right? So there is a lot that depends here. I watch Barkley's game, and he's just a freak of nature. But you keep hearing all these whisperings about Cleveland not being super excited about the top quarterbacks in the draft class. I can't really blame him. Like, Rosen has his issues. Darnold has his issues. What are you going to do, take Baker Mayfield first? I think you could. I don't think that anybody's going to. Josh Allen, if you take him, that would be a Browns move, right? But I don't think it's going to happen. I think Barkley is going to destroy the combine so much. Like, the best combine we have ever seen from a running back. Better than Jerick McKinnon. Better than all these guys. I think he's going to be taken first overall, man.
Well, that's the thing. Barkley, I don't think he's going to be taken first overall. Do I think that the Browns would consider him at four? I do, but the issue is that they still have Duke Johnson on the roster. Granted, they're going to lose Isaiah Crowell, but the thing is if you draft Barkley, you're essentially saying that Duke Johnson is useless because you're not going to take Barkley off the field if you draft him that high. I think the Browns would be better off, honestly, waiting to the second, grabbing Darius Geis at the start of the second round because the Browns, as we know, I think they have five picks in the first two rounds. So they running back is a position that we've talked about before, Bobby. I know that you're one that believes it's a very replaceable position, and I do to a certain extent, but I also do think that running back matters. I just don't think that the Browns can fill other holes before they kind of go the route of Barkley. Now, ideally, from a dream scenario, you mentioned it, the 49ers playing under Kyle Shanahan with Carlos Hyde going to free agency. It's just, you know, it eliminates a lot of the question marks that they have with Joe Williams, with Matt Breida. Can they be the running backs of the future? My assumption is not. So, you know, there's so many questions around this, but we do know one thing is that Barkley, the team that he does go to, he's walking into that lead role. There is no question marks. He's going to get, you know, 300 touches his first year in the league, which means you're going to get guaranteed top 12 production at the running back position. And that's something that's hard to find. So Barkley, again, if I'm drafting right now, like if we were putting him inside this mock draft, I would probably take him right around the 12th pick off the board.
I've got him 8 or 9. I can't really decide right now. Just because the upside is he could be the best player in fantasy football next year if he goes to the right team.
Yeah, he reminds me of David Johnson. I know you mentioned the Adrian Peterson and the fact that he might be better. Because the thing is Barkley, one of his best areas that he can contribute is the passing game. And he's going to walk in and contribute right away in the passing game, something Adrian Peterson didn't do. So I think David Johnson is more of the comp for me. He's like a big running back. He's strong. He's powerful for a big man. He's got really soft hands on him. So I do believe that Barkley's best comp in the NFL today for people that are trying to get an idea as to who Saquon Barkley is. I think that I would compare him to David Johnson.
A faster David Johnson, which is just incredible.
Yes, a faster one. Yeah, he's 6 foot, 233 pounds. He benches 225 like 35 times. His deadlift is ridiculous, and he's going to run a 4.3 40 at the combine this weekend. Yeah. So, I mean, it's easy to get excited about Barkley. Hopefully, he lands on a team that utilizes his skill set to the max.
Absolutely. So, Tags, who are your other top running backs? There's so many that could go between 2 and 6. I've seen some people put Penny that high. Some people don't have Penny in their top 6. Is it Darius Geis for you? The guy that you just mentioned?
Yeah, Darius Geis. He's definitely someone that you're going to want to keep an eye on for fantasy drafts. He's going to be someone that's going to be drafted definitely in the top two rounds. He might sneak into the first round to a team that, you know, is competing that wants to upgrade their running back position. But he's someone you're going to want to you're going to end up drafting him in the top four rounds of your fantasy draft. He's not as much as a three down back as Barkley is, but he's going to be very fantasy relevant. One player who I would argue could have higher, he may not be the better player, the better prospect, but Ronald Jones, depending on where he winds up, he might have more value than Geis, as Sony Michel too. Those two running backs, I believe they can contribute on all three downs. Some people said that Ronald Jones is too small to be a three down back, but he weighed in it at the combine at 205. He's 5'11. He's built solidly. He's got excellent lateral ability. Sony Michel is awesome too. Sony Michel and Ronald Jones, those two, if they land in the right situation, like let's say that Ronald Jones goes to the 49ers instead of Barkley. Ronald Jones is all of a sudden a second round pick in fantasy drafts. And I'm not hesitating to say that. I know some people will be like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, do you remember last year, Bobby, when Kareem Hunt took over in Andy Reid's offense when Spencer Ware went down? We hyped him up on this show as
12th round to third round, just like that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I said draft him at the end of the second round, and people were not, you know, it's just you look for that volume, and you know, the offense is going to matter for some of these running backs, but those are the only four running backs I would say are gonna be drafted inside the top six rounds of your fantasy football drafts.
I love Sony, man. I think Sony's the clear-cut number two for me. I also love Penny, as we mentioned. I've heard a comp that he's like Carlos Hyde. His hands aren't quite ready yet. He doesn't do any pass blocking whatsoever, but in terms of pure running, he's the second best running back in this class. I'll stand by that.
I don't. That's the thing is that there's really, it seems like there's a big wide range of outcomes when people are talking about Penny. I feel like Penny is a good guy to have on your depth chart as like a number two. I don't think he's a starting running back right now.
Okay.
As you mentioned, he can't pass protect. He's not a bad pass catcher, but if you can't block as a running back, it's going to be hard for you to stay on the field as a rookie. So I feel like that he should go to a team that maybe has an injury riddled starter, or they want to add some depth as like a timeshare. I just don't think that he walks in and is a fantasy contributor right away.
You know how the Patriots have LeGarrette, they had LeGarrette Blount, okay? And they never, ever passed him the ball. Can you imagine Penny in that role? Like, I don't know if the Patriots are going to draft a running back. They don't draft running backs, but if they did, Penny with the Patriots would be bonkers.
Well, I did an article, Bobby. Actually, it was a couple weeks ago. I did ideal free agent landing spots. It was just like dreaming. It didn't factor in, you know, teams and what they had in their salary cap. It didn't matter all that. But I said, Carlos Hyde, the ideal landing spot would be the Patriots, right? Because
yes.
He's not someone that would be asked to be doing a whole, like doing a whole lot in the passing game. He could still catch a few passes as he's shown the last 2 years, but walking into that role, like Carlos Hyde would be money in the Patriots offense.
The final guy I want to ask you about is Calvin Ridley. I think it's pretty obvious. He's going to be the number one wide receiver off the board. I mean, maybe someone will go nuts and, you know, draft James Washington up there. I don't think it's going to happen, though. Ridley's probably going in the top 15. I don't know if anyone else going in the first round. So how high would you take Ridley? Is he your top fantasy wide receiver as a rookie?
This depends. Like, wide receivers is so much in landing spot, because if he went to a team that didn't have a quarterback in place, like let's say the Bills, for example, he's not going to walk into, you know,
but he's the number one there.
Well, he is the number one, but I think we saw that last year, like Kelvin Benjamin going there. He wasn't doing much. Zay Jones didn't do much. The quarterback, they just don't throw the ball enough. Whereas like if he went to a team like the Bears, you know, with Matt Nagy taking over as the Bears head coach, I feel like that would be a spot where Ridley would walk into 100 plus targets immediately. They would need
he's
him
so
to contribute
polished.
Right away. Yeah, he is. And that's the thing is like he's one of those wide receivers that absolutely can produce as a top 30 receiver in his first year in the league. It's just a matter of will he get those targets? Will he walk in a situation? And outside of the Bears, I would say that I don't think that there's any way possible that Ridley makes it past the Ravens at 16 in the draft. So I would say that the Bears and the Ravens, and those are two positions where, you know, Mike Wallace is a free agent. So Jeremy Maclin, I think he showed he was able to get dinged up late in the year last year. He's getting older. So Ridley might walk into 100 targets with the Ravens too. So he's probably the only wide receiver right now that I would consider taking as a top 30 fantasy wide receiver in redraft leagues.
I wrote about best ball sleepers. So like, you know, draft.com. They have incredible best ball leagues. If you guys haven't seen them, go check them out. I love draft.com. But I wrote about a sleepers and, you know, you need multiple quarterbacks there. So I wrote Joe Flacco. And the reason why, I mean, he was struggling at the beginning of the season. He was hurt. There was no doubt about that. He's going to throw 600 passes this season. He's going to bounce back to what he was doing. He was on that pace to end the season. And he did it with, you know, Ben Watson as his leading target, Jeremy Maclin. And then what's his name? That running back that really just doesn't belong in the league. I can't even think of him right now. Like those were his main targets. Yeah. Buck Allen. Buck Allen. So imagine if Ridley went there. I think that's his best landing spot.
I don't think it's a bad one. It's just, we haven't seen a wide receiver finish like as a top 12 option with Joe Flacco. And that goes back to even the days with Torrey Smith and Anquan Boldin there. They were always like that top 24 guy. And that's not that we wouldn't take that with Ridley. We absolutely would.
Huge floor is what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And the offensive line played better than I think we expected the Ravens to last year. I don't think it would be a horrible landing spot. I feel like Baltimore as of late has been the place wide receivers go to die.
Yeah, you're right about that. Okay, so Tags, let's do this draft, man. Go ahead and hit the randomize button. I'm going to remind y'all at home, we're doing one quarterback, two running backs, three wide receivers, one tight end, two flex, no super flex, and then six bench spots. So go ahead and randomize, Tags. What do you have, man?
Okay, so again, I cannot lie to you. I got the first pick.
Me too! Wow, this is going to be cool.
That's fun.
I just yelled in the mic, everybody. That happened. I got the first pick. All right. Okay, guys. Sorry.
Bobby's excited. We're doing a football podcast. So he's excited. So obviously you can see how fast this thing loads. But I'm going to let Bobby make the first pick because my pick's I don't know if mine's going to be different than his. I have no idea.
Okay. Well, yeah, yours is probably going to be different than mine because I'm taking Le'Veon Bell here.
That's where I want to go. I really, you know, Todd Gurley sitting there. I don't think he's going to score as many touchdowns this year. I do think that they regress a little bit as an offense. I think it's natural in year two of the McVay offense that the teams have a little bit more tape on them. You know, Bell, I'm worried about. Right now, we have to assume he stays with Pittsburgh, right? And if he's staying with Pittsburgh, I definitely want him as the number one draft pick. I would consider, actually, I'm not even lying, I would consider Antonio Brown here. I think we can get some volume running backs back on the turn drafting at number one. But at the same time, Le'Veon Bell, it's just so hard to pass him up here in a half PPR. So right. I am also going to go with Le'Veon Bell. And as you guys can see on the screen, like you guys can see all these picks going. So that it gives you the feel, like you can see along the side here, it shows you all the picks as they happen. And it's showing the experts, how many percent of experts would pick that player. And if, like, let's say that it's not showing Zach Ertz on here. So if you click on Ertz, he'll pop up. It says 0% of experts would pick him at this spot. So obviously you can X him out there. There's so many different things you could do here. As the year goes on, we add more and more tools. You could add your cheat sheets into here. You can show the pick predictor. It shows you if on this pick, if I were to pass on Aaron Rodgers, there's less than a 1% chance that he's going to be picked by my next pick.
I love that tool. Actually, yes. The people on our team tags always make fun of me for how much I talk about the pick predictor tool, but I use it in every single pick when I'm doing these drafts because it just helps so much, and it gives you a real good indication, like a good feel for the draft before you go into it. I'm surprised you took Le'Veon Bell. I thought I remembered us having a conversation a couple months ago where Bell wasn't your guy. So when I was saying Le'Veon Bell at number one, I had to think for a second, like, this is who Tags didn't want, right? Because I think he's the pretty obvious choice. Now, most people aren't picking Bell. Most people are going either Todd Gurley. Some are going Antonio Brown, Zeke. Some people are even reaching for David Johnson. I mean, you could pick any of those guys at number one. But for me, it's Le'Veon Bell is the clear-cut top choice. Now, if for whatever reason he doesn't end back up in Pittsburgh, that will change for me. Unless he's like in Indianapolis with a healthy Andrew Luck. But I just think Pittsburgh offense is so helpful to the running back, and they utilize him the right way. I don't know if a different offense would. So I would probably go with Antonio Brown instead of Bell if Bell wasn't with Pittsburgh.
Yeah, no, and that's the thing is right now I'm assuming he's back with Pittsburgh, but I mean, it's really weird. I know it's very, I don't know if many people pay attention to it, but Le'Veon Bell changed his Twitter name. He took out the number 26 out of the at handle. He also removed everything Steelers related from his bio on there. The picture that he has is just showing him from like shoulders up, so you can't even see the jersey he's wearing. So I don't know what's going on there with Le'Veon Bell, but I mean, obviously from a fantasy perspective, we hope that he stays there.
Where would be the worst landing spot for Le'Veon Bell?
The Jets, maybe. The Jets wouldn't be a very good one. Their offensive line is very bad. And that's the thing. Le'Veon Bell is a very patient runner, and that's why he works so well behind the offensive line in Pittsburgh. They're a solid run blocking unit. And if he goes to the Jets, like, he's going to get swallowed in the backfield if he's too patient. And that's the thing. They're not known as an offense that heavily targets the running backs in the passing game. So, I mean, a rookie quarterback is likely going to end up with the Jets. So there's a lot going on with the Jets there, but I would think that's a terrible situation because they're not going to be a team that scores very much either.
He said something on Twitter a few weeks ago that you couldn't pay him enough money to play for the Jets. So I don't think that one's going to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen either because if the Steelers don't, he's going to have his pick of places. Of course, a team has to want him. I don't think there's many teams that don't, but with his asking price, I think there's only a few teams that can actually afford it.
Yeah. Someone would make cap room to make sure they can get Le'Veon Bell or mess with the contracts, like backloaded or whatever. I don't know, but teams would get creative for Le'Veon Bell. We're on to the second round. I was really hoping Davante Adams would drop. I'm not surprised that he didn't, but that's the guy that I really want in the second round this year. You know me, though. I'm going Gronk. I know a lot of people want to wait on tight end. I guess he's injury prone. Everybody's injury prone, especially all these tight ends. But when Gronk is healthy, he's the league winner, period. I'm taking him. I would love to get Hunter Henry later. Can't guarantee it, though, so Rob Gronkowski it is.
Yeah, and honestly, we're obviously at the same point in the draft, so it's really hard to disagree with what you're doing here because you look at, obviously, you can see on my screen, I don't have my cheat sheet up on this per se, that we're just trying to show you the tool. So for me, it's like, you know, I'm looking at Devonta Freeman, Jordan Howard is one of the next ones on my sheet. How do I feel about those guys? I mean, Devonta's okay. As for wide receivers, we don't have a number one receiver yet, but the top picks here are Landry and Doug Baldwin. And then Gronk. I mean, so I really don't know how you disagree with Gronk here. So I would actually do the exact same thing and take Rob Gronkowski.
Wow. We have the same draft. How's this going to end, man? Are you going to like copy me every pick?
No.
You go first this time so that there's no copying going on.
Yeah, so this is...
Actually, I think you're going to take the same guy as me, but we'll see.
So if we hide drafted players, we can click on that little box there to show them or take them away. So we want to take them away so we can see who's available. Because obviously, you know, we're at the point now in the draft where I think Bobby's going to consider this guy right here. I'm not even going to say his name.
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, that's exactly who he's thinking about right here.
No, I'm not actually thinking about him. I would love to be able to take him with like pick 30, 35.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen though. I don't have one of those picks, so I'm not taking them
for sure. And so that's where it comes down to. I, I feel like we have two elite players in Le'Veon Bell and Rob Gronkowski. And by the way, the tool keeps it right here. You can click on the other teams in there and kind of take a peek at what they have. But knowing that we have two elite players, we want a solid producer at wide receiver. So I'm going to take the guy that was just franchise tagged in Jarvis Landry. And the reason I'm doing that is because I think he's going to get traded. Apparently he was franchise tagged so that they would trade him this offseason. And that's the thing. I don't feel like he comes with the most upside, but I know the player he is, and I know that he's going to produce on a weekly basis, because you don't trade for a wide receiver like that or franchise tag a wide receiver like that without targeting him a whole lot. So I think Jarvis Landry is one of the safer plays. I'm not happy about it, but at the same time, it was between him and Doug Baldwin, and there's a lot of things happening with the Seahawks right now.
I am happy about it, because now I'm going to beat you. Yeah. I would not take Jarvis Landry in the second round of, I guess it's the third round. Technically, but yeah. I'm not very excited about this one, man. Like, do you remember there was this guy, his name was Sammy Watkins, much more talented than Jarvis Landry. He got traded to an offense that was one of the best offenses in football, and he had to learn the playbook, and it was not pretty. I know it wasn't pretty, because I lost a big bet as a result of it. If Jarvis Landry goes to a new team, like, is he going to be the same Jarvis Landry? Are they going to use him the same way? Even so, is he going to score all those touchdowns he scored? I know he's safe, but I don't think there's much upside here, man. I don't even think he has as much upside as what he did last year.
I do. So I think a team can utilize him better. It's not to say that he's going to see as many targets as he was in Miami. You know, those, you know, six average air yards per target or whatever it is that he got there. I think they can utilize him downfield a bit more than they have. He does create separation despite not being the fastest player. But so Landry for me, so here's the difference between Landry and Watkins. Now, granted, wide receivers do typically struggle a little bit in their first year with a team. Like, that's a real thing. Now, it helps if Landry goes there soon, and that would happen soon with free agency coming up. So here's the thing. He has the entire offseason to develop chemistry with a quarterback. He has the entire offseason to learn the offensive playbook. Sammy Watkins was traded to the Rams legitimately, I think it was 2 weeks before the season. So that
that's true.
And that's the thing, is like, we saw Watkins come on a little bit when Robert Woods was out of the lineup. And that, I mean, I think Sammy Watkins, the talent was always there. It was just a matter of Jared Goff. Does Sammy Watkins fit his skill set? I don't know. It might be better off for Robert Woods. So I'm hoping that Watkins goes somewhere else in free agency. I hope that the Rams don't tag him.
If they tag him and make him their fifth target or whatever again, that is so stupid.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. But yeah, that's where we're at. So you don't want Landry. Who are you taking here, Bobby?
Oh, I'm really surprised that you did not take Jordan Howard. He's got a very good offensive line, a very underrated offensive line. He's now playing with Nagy. They're going to air it out a little bit more with Trubisky. And Howard is as safe as they come in terms of running backs. He's going to get a ton of touches. He always does. And I think Jordan Howard has a more substantial ceiling than we've seen, just because he hasn't been in that great offense. I think Nagy's going to turn this into a top half offense. So Jordan Howard's the easy choice for me. Other guys I would have considered if Howard wasn't there: Christian McCaffrey, Derrick Henry. I actually think Derrick Henry is going to end up being picked around, 13, 14, 15 in most drafts, because I bet they cut DeMarco Murray. If they don't, obviously this is the right spot for Henry, but he's got huge upside. I mean, we saw it in the playoffs, right, Tags?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. And that's the thing, is like, I like Jordan Howard. My issue with Jordan Howard is the fact that Tariq Cohen, he might be just as good as a fantasy asset. And I think people are kind of underrating that with Tyreek Hill, with some of the abilities that Tariq Cohen and Tyreek Hill possess. I think Matt Nagy can use them in a lot of similar ways. They may use Tariq Cohen a lot more this season. So I think Tariq Cohen is going to steal a little bit of production from Jordan Howard. Now, that being said, I don't think he's a bad pick at all. And the reason I didn't pick Jordan Howard is because I really needed a wide receiver. Had I waited till now, it's going to get ugly really quick. So
it's ugly.
Like,
I'm there and it is ugly, man.
Yeah, no, for sure. And that's why I ultimately did it. So coming back around to this pick, now we're at the 4-5 turn, and I'm sitting here with Le'Veon Bell, Gronkowski, and Jarvis Landry. So I feel like when you take a pick like Jarvis Landry, like a safe pick, if you were to take someone like him, like Keenan Allen, like Doug Baldwin, one of those are safe players. I think you could take a little bit more risk with your second wide receiver. And because of that, my pick here would be Jordy Nelson.
Are you serious?
I worry about
Jordan. Oh, man, this makes me so nervous, dude. Sorry for interrupting.
I worry about him because I feel like he's hit the age where wide receivers tend to decline, and I think we've already seen part of that decline start to happen. Granted, losing Aaron Rodgers is going to accelerate that process, but Jordy, I feel like he can still contribute as a number two receiver. I believe Davante Adams. I have Davante Adams right now as my number eight wide receiver in this draft, so I obviously envision him taking a big leap, but Aaron Rodgers can produce two top 24 receivers, so Jordy Nelson here, you know, if he, you know, rediscovers that fountain of youth or whatever, or, you know, gets back on the same page with Aaron Rodgers, getting him at the end of the fourth, beginning of the fifth is not a bad pick.
You're not going to believe this, Tags. Aaron Rodgers dropped to me, man. I'm just kidding.
He went, he went.
I was hoping for a better reaction than that, man. You're killing me.
Well, he went as the fifth pick in the fourth round, so I felt like it was a chance that he would be there. In my home league, Rodgers might fall to the end of the fourth. That's possible.
There are going
to
be some people here taking Carson Wentz coming off a major injury, Deshaun Watson coming off a major injury. Both of them are due for significant negative touchdown regression, like maybe cut in half, right? I mean, anybody who's ever produced at this rate has never come even close to it. If they go back to Tom Brady's touchdown rate, they're going to be like the ninth and 10th best quarterback. That's if they're healthy. And people are going to be taking them in the late fourth round. That's crazy, folks. So for me, my pick, I have to go wide receiver. By far the safest wide receiver left is Golden Tate. Four straight seasons of 90-plus receptions. Give him to me.
Yeah, Golden Tate's a safe pick there, and that's your number one receiver, right?
That's my number one, yeah. I love Golden Tate. I mean, I've been picking him for the past couple years, and that's going to continue again this year. I'll grab him at the end of the fourth, early fifth, and I'll be happy with it. I'll go back-to-back here. Joe Mixon's still on the board for me, and Joe Mixon's just got so much upside. Like, if he was a top five running back this year, it wouldn't surprise anyone. It depends on how they utilize him. They turned him into a workhorse late in the year, and he was quite good several times. He flashed some extreme potential. So Joe Mixon in the beginning of the fifth for me, that's a steal.
Yep, that's exactly where I'm going with my pick too. Joe Mixon, I think too many people are forgetting that Joe Mixon was considered maybe the best all-around running back in last year's class. But yet, all of a sudden, you know, people love Kareem Hunt because he fell into a good situation. He ran behind a solid offensive line awesome offense, right? And then, like, Leonard Fournette, he produced in fantasy because he got all that work. Like, Leonard Fournette didn't have the most efficient season. I wouldn't say that he had the most. I think he struggled with injuries through time throughout the season. But Joe Mixon, it was the argument I had against Mixon at the beginning of last season, was that he's walking into a three-headed monster. Like, what do we expect behind an offensive line that's terrible? And, you know, I remember talking with you and Jake Seeley, we had on the show, and we were arguing about that. And I was saying, Mixon's not a guy I would take in the top five rounds because of that. You know, like, later in the year, do you think he's going to develop? Yeah, I felt like he would eventually take over that job. And he did. I mean, it took Jeremy Hill going to IR, but then we started seeing Joe Mixon perform like an RB1. So I don't know why people are so down on Joe Mixon. Like I said before, you take a running back in the first two rounds of the draft, you need to utilize him, which the Bengals need to. They need to get the most out of their draft picks. I mean, John Ross, I don't even want to get into that. But Joe Mixon, you know, Jeremy Hill's gone. Gio Bernard showed that he couldn't handle a workhorse role. That's why they drafted Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon, again, if he hadn't got hurt like late in the year, I think people would have a better taste in their mouth about Joe Mixon and the running back that he can become, because he got better as the season went on. So to get him at the, you know, the beginning of the fifth round, give me that all day, because he's going to be a 15 plus touch running back.
Yep, absolutely. He was a workhorse. Tags, I'm laughing out here, man. Like, people are taking Andrew Luck in the fifth round. They're taking, yeah, Sammy Watkins, I guess, isn't a horrible pick, but, you know, Lamar Miller in the sixth round, he's going to get cut. He's not going to be a starting running back, so I'm pretty pumped about that. But then someone stole my guy. Josh Doctson is my sixth or seventh round pick in every single draft I've done, and somebody reached for him. I'm probably drafting against myself here, because that is just uncalled for. So I don't know what to do. Like, I need some time to figure out who I'm going to pick, because I was planning on Josh Doctson. Now this is the stage in the draft, sixth, seventh round, where it's ugly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is where you got to find your sleepers in the draft. So if you reach, you know, if you go, you know, 10 positional spots down, you could probably find someone. Like, right now, I am as the top wide receivers that's showing in the ECR right now. Sammy Watkins, Corey Davis, those are the top two receivers. Now I can go down to, you know, 10 spots down the line here and see Marquise Goodwin down there. Marquise Goodwin could be mentioned in the same conversation with Sammy Watkins. You know, DeSean Jackson's down there. There's players, Julian Edelman at 49. Like, I know he's coming off a bad injury, but he's And he's older, but at the same time, is he going to walk back into that number one role with Tom Brady? Most likely. So it's just like looking through all this and trying to decipher who you want to take your chances at. And this is where drafts are won the majority of times.
Yeah, man, this sucks too. I just realized Pierre Garçon's gone too. I was planning on getting him. I would have loved to get Doxson and Pierre Garçon. Maybe I'll like revert pick and see if it spits out a different, you know, different picks or whatever so I can get my guys. This is bad. I have to get a second wide receiver here or else I am screwed. Corey Davis, Sterling Shepard, Devontae Parker, Cooper Kupp, a bunch of no's except for Corey Davis, I guess. Like, there's a lot of upside there. I think he's going to get the targets this year where he will be safe. So I got to go Corey Davis. I'm not very excited about it, but he's my pick. And then back to back here, you've got some of the top quarterbacks on the board. Not top, but, you know, Drew Brees, Kirk Cousins. I'd be happy with either of those guys as my quarterback. But Matt Ryan is sitting there at QB 17, which is crazy. I mean, he just had one of the best quarterback seasons of all time. As long as his ECR and ADP are all the way down there, I'm just going to wait and get him in every single draft. So I'm going to wait on quarterback. I'm going to figure out who I'm picking here. But Tags, why don't you go first?
So, yeah, Matt Ryan down at 17. Honestly, I understand it because, like, if you look, and I know he had one of the greatest seasons of all time in 2016, and then Steve Sarkisian took back over and the offense went to crap. Matt Ryan he went back to being the quarterback that he was on, his trajectory was towards, where it's like, it was never a bad quarterback. Matt Ryan was always a decent quarterback, but it was just, he wasn't that MVP quarterback. And so I think we saw him revert back to the quarterback that he was once known as. So, you know, seeing him in that 15 to 20 range, I don't think that's crazy. But yeah, it's at the point in the draft now where it's like, we're at the end of the sixth, beginning of the seventh. If you can get an elite quarterback, like one of the top five quarterbacks here, great. But on my board, Drew Brees, Kirk Cousins, those are the top guys right now. And I view them as QB1s. I certainly do. But I also know that we have two flex spots to fill in this league. I have another wide receiver spot. Yeah. So I feel like the difference between Drew Brees and maybe Jimmy Garoppolo or Jameis Winston at this point in their careers is not as great as the difference from, you know, a running back that you draft here and, you know, like Jerick McKinnon, where we have no idea where he's going to go. So it's a really weird spot in the drafts. And I'm banking on the fact that Sammy Watkins is going to either, if he's franchise tagged, they have to get him more involved in the offense. That's just got to happen. Otherwise, he's going to walk after that year. Or they let him go in free agency and he's signed by one of these teams like the Bears, who needs a wide receiver, a number one, and he's going to walk into an offense where he's going to see a lot more targets. So I'm going Sammy Watkins. I'm taking another upside pick here.
You know he believes the earth is flat, right?
I don't even want to talk about it. Yeah, I remember that.
I want to counter on Matt Ryan really quick, okay? We're talking about a guy with 4,000-plus passing yards and 20-plus touchdowns in six straight seasons. That has always been a top 15 quarterback. Six straight seasons. Chances he does that again and is a top 15 quarterback? It's pretty high, man. For to get at the end of the draft, that's some safety.
Well, that's the thing is Philip Rivers, I think, would fall into a better conversation than Matt Ryan, where he's done it more consistently. I mean, he's never going to be that number one option that Matt Ryan, you know, was. But I think Philip Rivers is kind of like a lock for top 14 production, like always. So, I mean, that's the thing. Like, you wouldn't take Matt Ryan over Drew Brees. You wouldn't take him over Kirk Cousins. Stafford and him, I'd still probably take Stafford. Like Dak Prescott, absolutely, I'd take Dak. Roethlisberger, that's where you get into the conversation for me. Roethlisberger, Jared Goff, Garoppolo. I think that's the conversation that Matt Ryan belongs in.
Tags, I am going to take another running back here. The running backs get pretty ugly since we're not using the running backs. It gets ugly pretty quick. So, you know, I've already got three, but it's a double flex league. I like to have like eight running backs on my roster. And I always make them all, after I get one or two like that I can rely on, I always make them all high upside guys. Because if you get six of those guys and two of them hit, like, you've got two really good running backs. So that's what I'm doing here. And I don't know if you think he's high upside, but I believe Samaje Perine is high upside just based on volume alone. We've seen him carry the ball 20-plus times, a handful of times, and he was really good a couple games. I don't think he's going to be, like, an RB1, but if he gets, you know, 300 touches, he's going to be pretty close to it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Washington's in a weird spot. Supposedly, they're going to be in the running for one of the free agent running backs. Like, so, like, people are tying the string. And honestly, he fits in right with Robert Kelly and Samaje Perine. Like, get Isaiah Crowell over there, and he's going to take over the starting running back job. That's like the rumor. Yuck. Is that they're interested in Isaiah Crowell, and that would just be hilarious. Yeah, I don't get it either. But I think Chris Thompson, depending on how he bounces back from injury, that would affect that because Alex Smith does utilize his running backs in the passing game. I mean, on the board right now, it's really tough with running backs. As you mentioned, I'm kind of regretting my Gronk pick. And it's not that I regret him, because I do think that he's a difference maker at, you know, one of the toughest positions. But I'm also looking at these names at running back, like, who am I going to rely on to start? Marlon Mack, which I like Marlon Mack. The Colts are going to draft a running back. It's just a matter of where they do. I don't think they're taking one at the top of the draft. So I think Mack should be a starter. But how much of a timeshare will it be? Marshawn Lynch. Again, this is a guy that's like 90 years old walking into a John Gruden offense where I'm sure he's going to want to run the ball a little bit more. And Lynch looked good as the season went on. He like got better as the season went on. But none of these running backs like say, pick me. Like I scream confidence. Like once you get outside the top 20 running backs, it gets ugly really quick. And free agent landing spots will matter more than others. So I don't think I could justify taking a running back here. I am going to go with Corey Davis.
He's still there.
I want to say you... He is still there. Oh. And now it's 7-1, so it's basically the same pick that
you
made.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And the reason, it came down to drafting either him or Sterling Shepard, because Sterling Shepard, if you guys like didn't pay attention to this whole thing, like Adam Thielen, the surge in his career at 26 years old, like that doesn't happen very often, but the surge in his career came when Pat Shurmur took over as the offensive coordinator. Now Stephon Diggs was still able to produce, and that's fine, but Adam Thielen became one of the biggest wide receivers in fantasy football. Pat Shurmur is now gone. He's over to the Giants, which is where Sterling Shepard plays like all of his snaps. He plays out of the slot. Again, not that Odell Beckham is not going to produce, because Odell Beckham is going to get his, but Sterling Shepard is a very good receiver. And like, I could understand the argument to take him over Corey Davis here, but I'm taking Corey Davis thinking that he's going to lead his team in targets.
All right. We're moving on to the eighth and ninth round here. So what are you looking for here? What do you have to fill out your starting lineup? I've got two spots left, quarterback and wide receiver.
I got quarterback and flex. That's all I have. Okay. And then defense, but we obviously know the defense is you wait till the end. So a flex spot and a quarterback spot, and Breeze is still on my board.
Me
so
too.
It's probably where I'm going to end up going. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm definitely going with Drew Breeze. I mean, I know I said Matt Ryan, but if Drew Breeze drops to you at pick 96 overall, his ECR is number 73, right? I mean, that's what the experts across the industry think. You don't get 23 pick steals like that. So Drew Brees, got to take him, man. I mean, his touchdown rate was 4.3 last year. That's a full percentage below his career rate. So he's probably going to throw a handful more touchdowns. And, you know, I know he's 39 years old, but it's Drew Brees at pick 96.
Yeah, and that's where I'm at, is like I don't envision Drew Brees ever being the elite fantasy quarterback he was, but he was competent. It's just people that drafted Drew Brees last year were upset with him because they were expecting the top three finisher that he's been throughout, you know, like the past 10 seasons. And that's why people are let down by him. Granted, here's the thing that I think people forget. Did you know, Bobby, that Drew Brees is 39 years old now?
Yes, I actually just mentioned it.
Oh, okay. So that's the thing. Like most people don't even realize that he's that old. Like most people talk about Tom Brady's age, like, oh, he's going to decline sometime soon. Drew Brees is going to decline sometime, but I feel like him and Sean Payton are smart enough and understand what his weaknesses are and where he's starting to deteriorate, and they'll build the offense around that. So I'm with you. I think Drew Brees is one of the safer picks down here, and getting him at the end of the eighth, beginning of the ninth round, it's kind of a no-brainer.
I'm a little bit heartbroken here, man. I was planning on picking Aaron Jones. That did not work. In fact, Pick Predictor told me there was only a 33% chance he was going to be taken. And so I gambled and it didn't work out. I should have taken him over Piran because I like Aaron Jones a lot better than Piran. I just thought I could get greedy and get both of them. Now, of course, I wasn't expecting Breeze to fall, so it ended up working out all right. But here's what it comes down to. I've got one more wide receiver on my board that I feel comfortable with whatsoever. And it's Marquise Goodwin. I would have loved to get Dante Moncrief. Somebody reached for him. Again, I think I'm drafting against myself because I would have reached for Dante Moncrief. Maybe not that high, but Marquise Goodwin, I got to take him. And it really sucks because that means Dante Foreman is probably going to be gone. And I want him in every single draft.
Yeah, Dante Foreman, he's someone that if Lamar Miller does, in fact, get released, which some people are expecting, Dante Foreman walks into a phenomenal spot, like where he's going to be the workhorse running back. They really don't have somebody else
healthy
on that roster. Alfred Blue's a free agent. And that's the thing there. He suffered a bad injury in 2017. So there's a lot of ifs there, which is why he's down here right now. We could easily see him jump up to like this 25 range. We could see that. So after taking Breeze, I have the one flex spot to fill out, which could be wide receiver, running back, tight end, doesn't matter. But I talked about Marlon Mack last time, and he's still on the board. Samaje Perine's there too, but I don't have any faith in Perine, especially in a half PPR where we're getting some points for pass catching. Marquise Goodwin is there, but him, I worry about Pierre Garçon coming back, stealing some of those. I think they are going to get a pass catching running back.
Give me both of them. Give me all of them.
And that's the thing. It might turn out to be a thing. So I'm going to go again. I'm going to go back to Marlon Mack and say that I do not think the Colts, like I would put money on it and the fact that the Colts do not draft Saquon Barkley if he falls to them at three and they take the best player that they possibly can to help their team. And running back is a very complementary position where it's not a necessity for you to be a very good football team. You could have a competent running back. We saw that with LeGarrette Blount. He was competent. You know, they got it done. Jay Ajayi, competent. They're not elite running backs. Marlon Mack was someone that kind of showed up. He should have had more touches last year. He outplayed Frank Gore seemingly all the time. Now, granted, he was in a different role. It was behind an offensive line that wasn't great, but Marlon Mack flashed as a big playmaker.
Yes.
Whereas with Andrew Luck there, it's only going to help his stock. They're going to score more often. He's going to be used in the passing game a lot more. There's just a lot of things surrounding Marlon Mack where he's got so much upside. So to get him here at the beginning of the ninth round as my second flex position, I'm good with that.
I would have taken him for sure there. I think that's a good pick, man. Your team's turning out well. I also love that you copied my first two picks. So, of course, I think your team is good. So here we are in the, let's see what pick we're in. We're in the 10th and 11th round. We're both starting our bench here. I would love to get another wide receiver. I guess I got to go. I don't like Randall Cobb. Sanu he's safe, but I want upside. I want upside because I need to get like three or four guys, and hopefully one of them hits. I think the upside pick here is Mike Williams. We didn't really see him. He didn't get to, you know, practice with the offense. He was splitting a lot of targets with everybody, and Mike Williams is immensely talented. So I'm excited to see what he can do. Maybe he breaks out. Maybe he doesn't. If he doesn't, so what? I pick up somebody else and use one of my other three, four wide receivers that I'm going to pick here with my bench spots. So Mike Williams it is. Who's your 10th round pick, Tex?
All right, so the pick predictor, it was really tough, and I wanted to show off this feature that, so when you're in the draft, the pick predictor, if you're on the turn, it's obviously going to show everybody's going to be available your next pick, that it's a less than 1% chance they're taken. You could actually set the pick predictor out two or three rounds. So I set it out two rounds just to see, because at this point in the draft, I think Jeremy Maclin is a solid bench player. I feel like he's going to get targeted. You know, they brought him in there to Baltimore for a reason. Whoever they bring in via the draft, whether it's Calvin Ridley, whether it's Cortland Sutton, James Washington, whoever it is, it's still a rookie where Jeremy Maclin is, they're not going to just heavily rely on the rookie and forget about Jeremy Maclin. So I wanted to see if he was going to be there. I got a 66% chance to skip him these two picks and take him. Then there's a 66% chance that he's going to be taken. So that's not ideal, right? So the one position I do want to upgrade, if Marlon Mack doesn't pan out, I need some more depth at running back. Again, this is a position where I feel like the Lions are probably going to draft a running back. They've been lacking there. But I don't think it's necessarily on Ameer Abdullah. I mean, I don't think that he's the only problem. I feel like the offensive line in Detroit has been awful. And I think that a lot of people just see a running back struggle on the stat sheet and they automatically assume it's him. I just don't think Ameer Abdullah has really fit what the offensive line has been doing there in Detroit. I don't think Ameer Abdullah is a very decisive runner. I think he's got patience. So if they build this offensive line a little bit more throughout the draft, I feel like he's an excellent upside pick at the, you know, in the double digit rounds. And I feel like if you're in a dynasty format right now, go and see what you can give up to get Abdullah. I mean, it was what, 2 years ago where people were so gaga over this guy. And now all of a sudden he's just kind of like a throw in a trade. So
he hasn't changed.
That's what I'm saying is like he stayed healthy last year. And again, I know the stats didn't look great, but you look at the running backs playing behind that offense. Just look at the offensive line. Like they're legit one of the worst five worst run blocking offensive lines in football. So, I mean, would it shock you if they draft a running back and trade Abdullah? Maybe not. Like that's the thing. This is the age of trades in the NFL. So
you're right.
I wouldn't look past it.
I like it. Yeah, I'm picking a running back here as well in the second pick here, 11th round. It's not Abdullah. I thought about Abdullah, but there's one running back who ended the season on a very high note. I'm not sure if he's going to be the starter, but if he is the starter, James White, with all the touchdown upside that the Patriots offer, I know they switched their goal line back, what, four times during the season? But James White ended the season as the goal line back. He did a really good job. I think he gets first crack in the 2018 season. And so I'm going to take my chances with James White. Maybe it's a home run here.
Yeah, no, I mean, I have no issue with the James White pick. He was someone that I felt was an awesome value last year, especially in PPR formats. Like, he was just destined. He was going to finish as a top 30 running back in PPR formats, and he may not have the high upside. You know, he's not going to finish as a top 10 running back. That's not what you're chasing with James White. You're just looking for him to be a consistent flex player for you. So I don't think that's a bad pick at all. And he's still available on my board. I would definitely consider him here. I just feel like Jeremy Maclin gives me another out at wide receiver. And as I mentioned, there was a 66% chance that he's going to be picked by the time it comes back around. So I feel like I want to go Jeremy Maclin here. DeSean Jackson's still available, and that's tempting because he's the number one on the list. And it says that 42% of experts would go DeSean Jackson and none would go Jeremy Maclin. But I'm in a different mind state here. I feel like Chris Godwin is going to start to steal some work from DeSean Jackson, and DeSean Jackson is a better real life football player than he is a fantasy football player right now.
Tags, I did it again, man. I wanted my cake and I wanted to eat it too, and it didn't work out. Spencer Ware did not drop to me, and Spencer Ware is another guy that I would love to have. There's like three or four guys in the draft that I just have to have. Foreman's one of them. Spencer Ware is another one. We're going to get to two of those guys later that I want. You know, I'm going to get in 15th, 16th round every single time. But Spencer Ware did not drop to me. So I'm 0-2 so far on the guys that I have to have. That's okay. I like my team. I'm not going to let it happen again. There's a couple guys that I really want. Quincy Enunwa is one
of them. Kevin White, absolutely.
I'm going to get Kevin White. Hold on. I'm going to get Kevin White. But Quincy Enunwa is sitting there. Pick Predictor says he's going to be there next round. I don't believe it. I think that they're lying to me so they can take Quincy Enunwa because they know Kirk Cousins is going to sign with the Jets. You know, they're offering him $50 million in year one, apparently. How's he going to say no to that? Like, seriously. Quincy Enunwa, when he comes back, he was a top 105 pick this time last year. Nothing's changed except that he is, you know, missed a season with injury. That's not that big of a deal. He's going to be healthy, and he's probably going to be the number one wide receiver in this offense. So with Kirk Cousins, man, that could be awesome.
Yeah, Cousins, I think we're really going to find out with Cousins what he wants. Does he want money? Does he want to win? Because the Vikings are going to be in play for them. They've been the team that I've been predicting that Cousins goes to. But if money is everything, then the Jets can front load that contract, give him a ton of guaranteed money. And if that's what he wants, that's what he wants. But just understand that you're not going to have great blocking in front of you. Your wide receiving options, one might be suspended in Robbie Anderson. Jermaine Kearse is just Jermaine Kearse. And Quincy Enunwa was coming off a bad injury. So there's a lot of question marks in New York. I am an idiot because I somehow overlook this, but I'm glad he fell to me here and he popped up, which means I need to have my cheat sheet closer because Tariq Cohen is still on the board.
Man.
Tariq Cohen at the end of the 12th round. It's just
that's
kind of a no-brainer pick for me. I probably would have taken him last round over Abdullah, to be honest with you. So I'm definitely happy to grab him here.
I thought about him instead of James White. That's a steal, dude. You've got a couple steals right now.
Mm-hmm. I feel pretty good about it.
My 13th round pick here, Kevin White's there. Pick Predictor says there's a 99% chance he's going to be there next round. So I will wait on Kevin White. Joe Williams is the guy that I have to have. I'm getting him in the 15th round every single time. If I'm drafting with somebody who I've heard mention Joe Williams' name, I'll draft him in the 13th. I really don't care. Got to have Joe Williams. I mean, we're talking about someone who was a combine warrior, just dominated in college. I know he had the off-the-field issues, but apparently they trust him now. He's in Kyle Shanahan's offense. We don't know if they're going to add a running back. Maybe they'll just stick with Williams as their running back. And if they do, he's got RB1 upside. I really do believe that. I don't think he's going to be the starter, but if he is, this is the steal of the draft.
I'm not a Joe Williams guy. I never really was. And that's why I still believe that the 49ers end up drafting a running back relatively high. I think in the top three rounds, it's a good running back class to attack. And Matt Breida showed the ability to be a complimentary back. I just feel like Joe Williams might be out of the picture right now. Like, he was reportedly on the roster bubble at the end of last year. So before he got hurt. So I don't know if I like that one. I mean, I do like Spencer Ware. He's still available. Like, here, I feel like he's a better handcuff. But at this point in the draft, I feel like there's still guys that can produce. And I think Doug Martin's one of them. Doug Martin is a running back. So when we talk about stacking our bench, we want to fill it with running backs, wide receivers, maybe a tight end if you feel like you get a crazy good value. But Doug Martin, he was cut by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This might be the best thing that ever happened to Doug Martin. Because, again, another team that has a really bad offensive line. We've seen Doug Martin succeed in this league before. So I think Doug Martin is like that upside pick to have on your bench, like depending on where he goes. I will absolutely take him at the start of the 13th round, which I just did.
Doug Martin has been healthy for an entire season twice. In both of those seasons, he was a top 10 fantasy player. I mean, who's to say he won't do that? He's still just 29 years old. I know that's getting up there for a running back, but he's got a lot of miles left in his leg. In one leg. He has miles left in both
in
legs.
In one leg. Well, I think it's crazy, though, that the Bucks are a team that has, they have a ton of cap room, right? Like, the cap room is not the issue with them. So to cut a big contract like Doug Martin, like, I don't know. I feel like, to save some money, I just don't know. Like, it just shows that they're done with Doug Martin. Like, it had nothing to do with saving money towards their cap, because there's teams right now that are cutting players that they might not necessarily do if they didn't have cap problems. But the Bucks aren't one of those teams. So, I mean, I don't know if there's something behind that story with Doug Martin, why they cut him. But I'm interested to see where he goes.
Doesn't it make you so sad when, like, you take a quarterback in the 7th, 8th round, even if it's Drew Brees, and you get him at pick 96, and then Dak Prescott is still sitting there in round 14.
What?
It just makes me feel like I'm just an idiot, man.
Yeah, I debated Dak, honestly, and I would make that argument that I would have taking Dak over Drew Brees. Dak went in my draft at the end of the 9th round. So it goes to show, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, our drafts are different. Like, that's why the draft wizard, one draft isn't enough. Like, you have to go back and do it again and again, and kind of, you're going to start to learn where players are going in the range that you sometimes have to reach to get them.
All right, man, I've got two more picks. I got to get James Conner. James, like I said, Le'Veon Bell might leave. If he does leave, they're probably going to draft a running back. But if they don't, we're talking about a guy who's probably going to be the workhorse in one of the best offenses in football. James Conner is that guy. So he's also my handcuff right now to Le'Veon Bell.
Yep. And as you guys can see, if you guys are watching again, with the YouTube thing, you're able to see these things that maybe you've never seen before. James Conner, you can see next to James Conner, it shows cuff, that he's the handcuff for one of the players on our team. So that's why it shows that, which is really neat when you're going through an actual draft, because this actual, everything that you're seeing on the screen here, everything that this does, it does with your live draft. All you do is you hook up your league to it, and it, like, go along with your live draft. My wife used it last year. It was funny because people in the league considered it cheating, and some leagues have actually said that, like, this is unfair that you actually have this, because it almost tells you who the experts are telling you to pick, so you really can't screw up your draft.
You're basically in a room with the experts all sitting behind you, whispering in your ear, telling you who to pick.
Yeah, it's pretty
insane.
You can
pick your 6 favorite experts and then build your draft list based on that, and they tell you who they would advise as a group of experts. It's amazing.
Yep, it is amazing. And I'm not going to do what Bobby's probably going to do. I'm not drafting a backup quarterback. I'm not doing it because it's going to influence my score, and I don't want it to. Now, if you're one of those that drafts a backup quarterback, I have no issue with that. If you really want to, that's fine, because some people may have taken Jared Goff, like, as a backup quarterback last year, and that really worked out. You know, there's a few quarterbacks, like, again, on my board, Phillip Rivers is still there, Jameis Winston's still there, Garoppolo, Marcus Mariota, Alex Smith. Like, there's so many players still there that I would contemplate if you had deep rosters.
Blake Bortles is still there?
That's what I'm, oh God. Anyways, so yeah, the guy that they gave that extension to. But no, so when you look at how deep our starting rosters are, and, like, we don't have a really deep bench. Like, if you have, I love leagues with deeper benches. Like, I like having 8 to 10 spots for a bench, but we only have 6 spots here. So we have to, you know, utilize as many as possible, play the matchups in these flex spots, because Corey Davis isn't going to be an every week starter. Mac might not be an every week starter, but we're getting guys on our bench that can contribute. And this is where I'm going to take a pick that, again, no experts agree with, but this is me, because Rob Gronkowski isn't known to be the most healthy of tight ends in the league. It's rare that he plays all 16 games. So we're going to take the upside pick here in Adam Shaheen. Shaheen is someone who, you know, if you, like, I obviously I'm very close to the Bears, like, they're my home team here, but Shaheen was someone that the Bears, they reached for in the draft. Like, a lot of people were expecting him to go maybe 3rd, 4th round. They reached for him in the 2nd. They really wanted him on the team. You know, they're going to model his game, trying to turn him into, like, the Travis Kelce of the Matt Nagy offense. So, you know, will that work? I don't know, but what I can tell you is that Adam Shaheen looked really good last year. He looks like that physically dominant force that they wanted him to be when they drafted him. So he was coming
out. He's going to be better than OJ Howard, man. I love that pick. I think Shaheen could be a red zone monster.
I believe that's what I think, is I think he's going to be a red zone monster. They don't really have that on the team right now with the Bears, but I won't say he's better than OJ Howard or going to be. I like OJ Howard a lot this year. I have him as a tight end 1 in my rankings right now, but I feel like as a backup, a bench stash, Shaheen, don't be surprised if Shaheen finishes as a top 12 tight end this year. Don't be surprised at all.
Agree. Yep. And Tags is sitting here making fun of Blake Bortles. listen to this, Tags, okay? Listen to this, Tags.
Here we go.
Only five players have thrown for 15,000 yards and 90-plus touchdowns before turning 26 years old. Peyton Manning, Dan Marino, Drew Bledsoe, Matthew Stafford, and Blake Bortles. And guess who had the least interceptions of that group? Blake Bortles.
Well, it wasn't, I was going to say, it wasn't Peyton Manning.
It was not Peyton Manning. Okay, Blake Bortles does not belong in the group. I mean, they were stacking the box, and he could not hit open receivers. Like, they did not throw the ball with him when they were in the best situation to throw the ball with him. I cannot believe they just went out and re-signed this man. I am pulling my hair out over here.
So here's the thing. When they first announced it, I was actually on a dinner date. Like, we went out on a couple's date, and like my phone's blowing up because I tried to ignore my phone that night. I just wanted to spend a night with the couples talking, and I see my phone out of the left corner of my eye, and it's just going off. And all my friends, all the Twitter, like everything, Facebook Messenger, all that stuff going off because people are telling me about the Bortles thing. What do I think? What do I want? You know, like, how ridiculous is this? And when I first saw it, I was like, oh my God, you got to be kidding me. We talked about this. Like, Bortles had one more year on his deal. They should draft a quarterback, see what he does, because Bortles, for as much as hate as I've thrown his way, he improved this season. Like, he got better as the season went on. Now, is he your franchise quarterback? I don't think that he's the quarterback for that franchise. That's just me. I still don't think he's careful enough with the football. I think they need a game managing type quarterback. Like, even going back to like Kyle Orton, he would have been a perfect fit for this offense. Like, Alex Smith would have been a perfect fit for those offense. They should have a quarterback who takes care of the football. I don't think Bortles is that guy. But with that being said, when you looked at the contract, when you first heard about it, it's like, why? But at the same time, what they did and the amount of guaranteed money they gave him and the salary he's getting over the years, it's nothing more than like a Mike Glennon deal that the Bears gave to Glennon. So, and the thing is that the Bears are about to cut Mike Glennon. So it's not like they're strapped for cash. That's not the issue. So the Jags, I don't think it was the worst deal to lock up just in case Bortles continues to improve. I mean, that's the thing is I still want them to draft a quarterback. I feel like
I wanted Lamar Miller, man. Lamar Miller. I wanted Lamar Jackson. Lamar Miller at quarterback might be as good as Blake Bortles. I don't know.
No, I tied that. I don't know. So I've thought about that because I know you brought that up before, Lamar Jackson to the Jags. And not to say that it wouldn't be dynamic with him and Fournette in the backfield, but I just feel like that they need a safe quarterback. And Lamar Jackson has the most upside. Like, he might be up there with Mayfield for the most upside in this draft at the quarterback position. Maybe even Josh Allen, too. Like, those guys are at the tier with the most upside. They have some risk, for sure. I just, like I said, I mean, I think that Mason Rudolph would be a quarterback that I think that they should consider at the end of the first round if it gets there, because they don't have too many holes on their team to fill. So they can use that pick. And that's the thing is, he's like a more of a developmental guy. Or even, I don't want to say Josh Allen, because I don't believe in Josh Allen. And I want the Jaguars to get better. So,
if you were an NFL team and you had a fourth round pick and needed a quarterback, would you take Josh Allen? In the fourth round,
absolutely, I would. Because the reason I would at that point is because, you know, we talked about that on the quarterback prospect show that we did, is that Josh Allen going number one overall is a joke. Like, legitimately, I have no idea how this got started. Well, I do know how it got started, but I don't like it, and I don't think that there's any truth to it. But with that being said, we've seen it before, like these quarterbacks like Jay Cutler with these crazy physical tools that you're like, oh, he's going to develop. You know, we can develop him. We could do this. We could do that. Accuracy is rarely something that will improve over a player's career. If you go and look through a quarterback, I want you to find me one that started as a very inaccurate quarterback and that all of a sudden became Drew Brees with accuracy. It just doesn't happen. So Allen can make some throws that no other quarterback in this draft class can make, but he also can't make some of the easiest throws that Blake Bortles can make. So Josh Allen is someone that, I mean, if you're talking about the third or fourth round, taking that upside pick, I have no issue with that. But taking him in the first... But,
like, is there really upside? Jay Cutler had eight times as much accuracy as Josh Allen.
I agree.
You could go out there in the backyard and hit wide receivers better than Josh Allen could right now. Yeah, he can throw the ball through the wall. But I'm not joking. He has worse accuracy than Tim Tebow. You watch his highlights. He is horrible. He will never be a good quarterback in the NFL. Never.
So
never.
So let's say that you're the Jets and you know who the quarterbacks are on your roster. Christian Hackenberg, you're not going to go forward with him. Bryce Petty. Like, let's pretend that Josh Allen is there. And like, say you didn't get a quarterback in free agency. You didn't get one in the first couple rounds, but Josh Allen's on the board there in the third round. Would you not consider it as the Jets franchise?
I mean, I'd consider it.
Yeah. That's basically
what
I mean,
I'd probably get fired if I didn't draft him, so maybe I would draft him because of that. But I'm telling you, he's never going to be a good quarterback in the NFL.
And to be clear, Josh, he's going to go in the top two rounds. Like, that's the 100% going to happen, because teams will reach for a quarterback just in case they find that you know, lightning in a bottle. But I don't think it's going to happen with Josh Allen.
Yeah. Okay. Let's finish out this draft, man. Who's your final pick?
Yeah. All right. So we have the defense and the bench. That's our last two picks. So I have to pick. So it doesn't matter. This is the turn. Yeah, it is the turn again. So I'm going to go with the Eagles defense because, well, the Eagles defense.
We don't need a defense, man.
Yeah, we do. I had a defense.
You have a defense. I don't have a defense, man. That's right.
See, now Bobby's going to screw up the scoring system. All right. So on my bench, I have three running backs, one receiver, one tight end. So I could probably use another receiver here. Looking at the ones available left, we have Kevin White, Kenny Galladay, and none was there. Decker, Kendall Wright. Man, none of these options are screaming confidence. So let's go with. I'm going to go with Kevin White.
Why do you need confidence with a 15th round pick?
I'm doing Kevin White just to make you mad. So I took Kevin White, and honestly,
mad? And that makes me happy. Go Kevin White, because I'm not drafting him. Someone's got to draft him.
Well, that's the thing. So, I mean, it really paid off here. I have three Bears on my bench, by the way. Well, hold on a second. And by the way, I want to mention, before people are like, oh, if he's a Bears fan, he's a Bears homer. No, that's not me. Like, I promise you, I'm not that guy. I'm the guy who's always been negative about this team because I felt like they were heading the wrong direction. This is the first offseason. Like, I was telling my wife the other day that I have not been this excited as a Bears fan in a long time because I felt like they're doing everything right this offseason. Now, granted, they still have to get the players in the draft. They still have to hit free agency. There's some holes in this team that they're going to lose in free agency. Like that's going to happen. But I feel like they're at least headed in the right direction, and especially on that offense. So there's reason to be excited about the Bears offense.
All right, my final pick. I guess you have like eight more picks. I don't know how many more picks you have, but this is my final pick. I was thinking about Kevin White. Like, yeah, I think he has some upside, but not as much upside as Keelan Cole. I mean, Keelan Cole was one of the best wide receivers in football over the final 5 weeks of the season. I'm not saying he's going to be a top, you know, a wide receiver one or even a wide receiver two, but do I think he can be a wide receiver three? Yeah, if Allen Robinson walks, I think he is a wide receiver three.
I think he might be a wide receiver three regardless because you have Allen Robinson who is he's going to be back on the team. They're either going to franchise tag or they're going to sign him. He's back on the team as far as I'm concerned, unfortunately. Marquise Lee, they're going to lose. He's a free agent. They're not keeping both of them. So he's gone. I also think that they're going to cut Allen Hurns. I think that's going to happen. So I think you're looking at a starting wide receiver core of D.D. Westbrook, Allen Robinson, and then Keelan Cole in the slot, which is where he probably played some of his best football.
All right, man. So go ahead and pick out your draft, however many picks you have left.
So it was my last pick, the last one. My Kevin White was the Mr. Irrelevant pick, and that's kind of fitting. But my draft grade, Bobby, and I'm curious to see if you got better than this because I can't lie about this. It's right here on the screen for everybody. I got 94 out of 100. I got an A.
Yeah, you cheated. I don't know how you cheated because everybody's watching. Somebody find out and tweet me at Bobby Fantasy Pro so tags can't hold this over my head because I just got an 86. I mean, I know my team's better, but for whatever reason, I got an 86.
Yeah, I feel like there was some errors on my team, but I also feel like I think it's a well-built team. Like week in, week out, I think it's got upside. I think it's got consistency. I feel like it's solid. It's not the best I've ever felt in a mock, but I'll run through my final team here. I have Breeze at quarterback. My running backs are Le'Veon Bell, Joe Mixon, Marlon Mack, Amir Abdullah, Tariq Cohen, and Doug Martin. My wide receivers are Jarvis Landry, Jordy Nelson, Sammy Watkins, Corey Davis, Jeremy Maclin, Kevin White, tight end Rob Gronkowski, and defense is the Eagles.
I like my bench a lot better than yours. I like your starters better because I made the bonehead Samaje Perine pick when I should have just got Deontay Foreman. That's all right. So I like my team. Le'Veon Bell, Jordan Howard, Joe Mixon, Samaje Perine, James White, Joe Williams, James Conner. I love those high upside running backs, man. I always love them every single year. I got Rob Gronkowski at tight end, just like tags. Drew Brees is my quarterback. And then my wide receivers, it's a little bit ugly, but there's some upside. Golden Tate is safe. Corey Davis, mega upside. Marquise Goodwin, Mike Williams, big upside. Quincy Enunwa, I love the upside. And Keelan Cole. So, yeah, my team's good. I do think you beat me, though, Tags. Congratulations, man.
Yeah, no, your running backs, you started running through them, and I liked them. I just felt like I feel like my bench has the upside running backs I wanted. But, yeah, the wide receiver position is where I ultimately won. Like, your wide receivers, to have Corey Davis as number two, it's like,
yikes. Yikes.
Yeah, that. Yeah, ideally, he's your number three receiver, and you're hoping that he lives up to more than that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really feel comfortable with him as a number three either. It's just the upside pick for me, man. Like, if I didn't know I was going to get some other upside guys, I would be not happy about Corey Davis as my number three.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. It's just like, I don't know. I just don't know how far the hype's going to get out of control, because he was someone that was going to go in the double digit rounds before the NFL playoffs. And then people saw what he was able to do in the playoffs, which is something that we kind of knew all along, that Corey Davis is going to be a phenomenal receiver in this league. And then all of a sudden people are talking like he's going to be drafted as a top 30 wide receiver.
Yeah. All right, man. That's all for today's show. It was a blast being back on with you. I don't think I'm going to be on the next few shows, but I'm coming back for the free agent primer. That's going to be a lot of fun. So, Tags, I'll talk to you again in a few weeks. I mean, I guess we could like text or something and be friends outside of the podcast, but this was a lot of fun, man.
Absolutely. It was a blast. It's always weird talking about, you know, like doing a draft before all these things kind of take place, but yeah. It kind of gives you an idea as to where our mind's at and what we're expecting. We talked about a lot of things in this one. So yeah, man, it was fun.
All right. And for those of you listening at home, if you haven't already, subscribe on iTunes. That way you don't miss any episodes. Check out Tags wearing his jorts and diaper on the YouTube video. We're getting a lot rolling with the video, and they've been doing a really good job with it. Tags is he's a hunk, so make sure to take a look and give him some comments and thumbs up, whatever they do on YouTube. Anyway, thanks for listening and enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my! Look at that! He is! And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win! Unbelievable!
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.